Thank you, Jesus. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you. I give
Come on and bless the Lord tonight. If you agree with the choir that you're willing to give yourself away, we bless his name tonight. We honor his presence in this place. The Bible teaches that in his presence there is fullness of joy. You ought to have some joy tonight. After all you've been through. Look at somebody and said, I'm still alive. I might be broke, but I'm still alive. I might have some trouble in my life, but I'm still alive. I might have some sickness in my body, but I'm still alive. Come on, saints, let's praise him for just being alive. Ah, Lord. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name. I'm going to ask that every head would be bowed for a moment, just a moment. Thank you, God, again, for the privilege of prayer and for this rich opportunity to bless your name. You are an awesome God, and you deserve the highest praise. Even now, I pray for the kind of anointing that makes preaching possible. Use me tonight as never before. Someone has come weak and weary and worn, troubled by the vicissitudes of life, but yet they've come. I pray even now for your Shekinah glory to fill this place. Your name be magnified and your name be glorify. We thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're getting ready to do. And we claim victory right now in the midst of all we're going through. It is in the name that matters the most, in the name that will cause demons to behave themselves, in the name that will cause every knee to bow and every tongue to confess. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people of God shouted amen.
Amen.
Come on, say amen again.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a thunderous applause and bless him all over the building. You may be seated for just a moment. I want to take just a moment to thank God again for this mighty shepherd, this wonderful servant of God, the mouthpiece of God, the angel of this house. Come on, give it up for Pastor Leroy Mitchell. If LeBron James and Steph Curry can get that kind of intro, I think we ought to give that kind of intro for the man of God who prays for us, who lays hands on us. And so we honor the presence of our dear friend, Pastor Mitchell. And again, to his lovely wife, come on, give away to I don't understand people that can love the pastor but can't love the pastor's wife. Yeah, I don't understand that kind of hookup. I don't understand it. They are one. They became one. And you have a wonderful couple. You have a wonderful leader. And we appreciate them to the highest. I was talking to my wife this morning early, and she said, "Now where you are?" I said, "I'm in Lynchburg with Pastor Mitchell and Steph." "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You were some good people." I said, I know, and I just want to thank you for the hospitality." I said, "You know how it is when some places I go." I called right after the revival. I said, "Baby, I wish I was at home." But being here in Brookville, Greater Brookville, and being with the Mitchell family is such a refreshing time. And we were just talking because she's leaving out in the morning at 7 o'clock, headed to San Antonio to minister this weekend. And then she's going to be going to South Africa next week. God has opened wonderful doors. It's called payback. Pastor Mitchell know how I was going every week, I think. And now I'm getting it back now. So she's gone all over the world. God is using her in a powerful way. Wonderful gifts. Amen. And so she wanted to be sure to tell you, Sister Mitchell and the family, that she's praying for you. And may God's richest blessings continue to be with you. And then we're thankful for any ministers, the ministers that are present. Come on, give a hand to all ministers. Yeah. Amen. I know how ministers are. They'll go 1,000 miles to preach, but won't go around the corner to hear another preacher. And so I'm thankful for any of the ministers who are present. I've been informed that one of my classmates, high school classmates, is here tonight. Will you please stand, Sister Ingram? Amen. God bless you. Now, I'll be honest. I didn't think nobody from Danville would come to live in Lynchburg. After all the times, the battles at Dunbar and Langston and EC Glass and GW. I didn't think nobody from Danville would come to Lynchburg to live. I played high school and never could beat EC Glass. I never could. I mean, I that was our rival. That was our arch rival. And yet, God can bring us together, can't he? And I thank God for that. We thank God for St. Paul tonight. St. Paul is in the house. Thank God for these ushers and the praise team. What a blessing. What a blessing. My God, my wife was asking, how's church? I said, they have church down here. I said, they have church. In fact, I'm expecting a crew coming from Petersburg tomorrow. They said, we're going to have to get you back home. And so we're looking forward to some of our ministers that's going to come and be with us tomorrow night. I've been blessed by what I've been hearing, but I want to just do a little bit of this song because in the midst of all that we're celebrating, there's some of us are going through. And this song comes to my mind. Trouble in my way, I have to cry sometimes. So much trouble, I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, but that's all right. I know that Jesus, after a while, trouble in my way, I have to cry sometimes. So much trouble, I have to cry sometimes. Lay awake at night, but that's all right. I know that Jesus, after a while, trouble in my way, I have to cry sometimes. So much trouble, I have to cry sometimes. Lay awake at night, but that's all right. I know that Jesus, won't he fix it? Won't he fix it? Fixed it for my father and my mother too. Won't he fix it? Jesus will fix it. Jesus will fix it. Jesus will fix it. After a while. I just wanted to go on record. Look at somebody and say, Jesus will fix it. After a while. Somebody holler, I know that's right. I'm not going to delay the time. I want to invite your attention to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. If you don't mind, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word, if we can stand for a judge entering the courtroom, if we can stand for President Barack Obama, we ought to be able to stand for the word of God. In Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, it says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. You may be seated. I want to talk tonight from the subject, Don't Count Me Out. Touch somebody nearby and says, Don't Count Me Out. Pastor Mitchell, as you mentioned, I've been blessed by the gospel to travel throughout the land and the country and throughout the world. I think about it at times here, this young fella all the way from Danville, Virginia. And yet the doors have opened. In Africa, we have a church that we built in Ghana. I've ministered in London, England, and in France, and in Germany, and throughout the world. God has given me faith. Touch somebody and say, favor ain't fair, but it's still favor. But I was in one of the places that I like going to, Charlotte, North Carolina. Anybody been to Charlotte, North Carolina? That's my kind of town. I like Charlotte. It's the Queen City. It's the place where they do a Hall of Fame for NASCAR. It's Carowinds. It's a whole lot to do in Charlotte. I like Charlotte. And I was in Charlotte doing a revival for one of my pastoral friends. And they had put me in this area, this place that was exceptional. I mean, it was plush. You know, it's the kind of place where the McDonald's and the Burger Kings are different. You know what I'm talking about? Those kind of places that, I mean, it's just clean and just wonderful. And I decided to step out of my hotel room and just explore a little bit. And I wanted to go to a Walgreens. And so I went into Walgreens, got out of my car. My armor bearer was with me, and we got out of the car. And on my way into Walgreens, there was a bum that was a hood rat. There was some guy had the nerve to stop me. I'm on a high because we had a spiritual service. We had a great time in church, and I was on cloud nine. And here this bum, this hoodlum, gonna harass God's anointed. Saying to me, loan me $5. I said to myself, Negro, please. Loan you? I don't even know him. And the nerve of him asking me to loan him $5. And I tried to ignore him. In fact, I did ignore him because he kept following me, but he wouldn't come through the door because I'm sure they have told him not to do this. But I went on in to Walgreens, and I was headed toward the cookie aisle. Yeah, I had some cookies on my mind, some lemon cream cookies. And I was on my way on that aisle, planning to pick up some cookies and a few other items. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit bothered me. The Holy Spirit convicted me. And every time I tried to dismiss the voice, the more I found myself under conviction. And I said to the Holy Spirit, I said, why are you hassling me? That's a bum out there. That's a thug out there. That's a hoodlum out there. And why are you messing with me like this? And the more I tried to dismiss it, more the Holy Spirit convicted me. You do know that's his job, to convict and to convince. And so finally I said, well, what's the problem? See, I don't know how you talk. I have my relationship with God. I can be honest with him. I don't have to try to polish rather. He knows my heart anyhow. He knows my thoughts afar off. So whether you say it or not, he knows what you're thinking anyhow. And I said, what's the problem? He said, well, the first problem is you're making a value judgment. You're making a value judgment. And I said, well, what's the problem with that? The problem with value judgments is they are assumptions without assessment. And you do know that making assumptions is a dangerous thing. It's like this couple, Pastor, that got married and they're on their honeymoon and the husband is in the bathroom. You know, he's getting himself together. The wife is in the bedroom getting herself together. And the husband is delaying himself to go back in the room because he has an issue that he's been able to mask throughout the relationship. The problem that he had was smelly feet. Yeah, his feet was smell, and he's been able to mask it. He's been able to cover it up throughout the relationship. For some of y'all, that wouldn't work. But he was able to mask it, and so he knew that he couldn't keep masking it. You know, when you start living with folk, all everything comes out, and so he decided. He said, "Now, how am I gonna prepare her? She may leave me because my feet really stink, and how in the world am I gonna get through this? This is our honeymoon night, and I know it by the morning my feet gonna be stinking." And so while he was contemplating what he could do to deal with it, well, his wife, his bride, his beautiful bride, she's been able to mask something as well. And that is, she has bad breath. And she was wondering how in the world she's going to be able to be with him all night. And now he discovers that when she wakes up, she got bad breath. And so, Pastor, the man said, well, I'm a man up. Yeah, I think men ought to man up at times. I think they ought to, I hate for a man to hear noise in the house and say, baby, go check it. Yeah, I think a man ought to man up. And so he goes in the room and she's in the bed already and he hugs her and she turns to him. He said, I got to tell you something. She turned around and said, I got to tell you something. He said, I already know what you got to tell me. She said, what is it? He said, you've been eating my socks. It's a dangerous thing to assume. But the Holy Spirit said to me, you're making value judgments. And value judgments of other people are a problem because they are assumptions without assessment. In other words, he began to explain to me that part of the problem is you looking at this individual, this person, that you have reduced to a thug and a hoodlum, but you don't know their crisis. You don't know their past crisis. You don't know what drove them to be where they are right now. Every problem you have is connected to the past. I'm going to say that again. Every problem you have is connected to your past. And so before you write people off and count them out, you don't know what they've been through. Oh, you ought to touch them. I say, you don't know what I've been through. You see me right now, but you don't know my story. You don't know why I behave the way I behave. Because I've discovered, Pastor, that bad beliefs will create bad behavior. And so he says, first of all, you don't know the past crisis. But then also, you don't know the personal circumstances. Yeah. Everybody you see that's doing bad don't necessarily want to be doing bad. Everybody that's look broke don't want to look broke. Everybody that has fallen on hard times is not somebody who wants to be on hard times. I never forget that there was a father who saw his daughter out on the corner selling her body. She'd become a prostitute, and when he pulled up on the corner and saw her, he just shook his head in disdain. And she was upset because she knew what drove her there. And she said, roll down your window. She said, I know I ain't nothing in your eyes. I know that I'm a prostitute. I'm a whore. I know that. But what you don't know, it was your brother that raped me. And now I'm in a mess because I can't get rid of it out of my mind. You ought to touch somebody and say, you don't know my present circumstances. Yeah, some things have happened. And even though I'm here now, it doesn't mean that I'm always going to be like this. And then thirdly, this is what hit me, Pastor, when he says to me, not only do you not know the past crisis and the personal circumstances, but you also don't know the potential to change. I'm leery of any gospel, any preaching that does not believe in the transformational power of God. I don't care how bad a person is. The God that I serve is able to turn things around. I know this ain't everybody's story, but some of you know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, I tell folks sometimes, I'm glad I'm saved, and you ought to be glad too. Yeah, 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 yeah. You ought to be glad too. See, because God's still working on me. Yeah, because I still believe in laying hands on the sick. And God is still working. So I don't like listening to people who have written people off as if God can't turn it around. Oh, you look holy right now. You look sanctimonious right now. But if we told your story, if walls could talk in Greater Brookville tonight. Oh, come on. Don't make me read you in here. Some of y'all were midnight tipping and backdoor slipping and hotel shaking and motel quaking. But God. God. Sometimes we get convenient amnesia. And that's why some of the young folk don't come to church no more, because we got to act like we always been holy. Like we always been in the church. You may have always been in it, but the church ain't always been in you. Oh, touch somebody and say, it's tight, but it's right. God said it's a value judgment. But then the thing that really captured me in my conversation with God, it's so wonderful to talk to him. I feel sorry for any believer that does not have a relationship with God. He says, my sheep know my voice. If you don't know the voice of God, it's an indication that you are immature, because the lambs don't know, but the lambs follow the sheep. Oh, help me somebody. But you ought to grow to the point where you hear the voice of God. And I'm saying, is it an audible voice? No, it's not necessarily being audible. God speaks in many ways. He speaks through dreams and visions and impressions. In fact, some of y'all have dreams. I mean, you recognize dreams almost every night. And you ought to recognize that God is trying to tell you something. Oh, I wish I had time to deal with that. But God says, listen, it's not only you making a value judgment, but what's worse than that, it is not your vision of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. It's not only a value judgment, but it's also, you have a vision of Jesus. You have not seen him in the physical, but when you read about him, you got a picture of who he is. Folk talking about what would Jesus do? It's in the word. If you read the word, it tells you what he would do. And so when I begin to look at this particular passage, Jesus with his disciples have passed over the sea, and they ran into a storm. I don't care who you are. If you live long enough, you're going to have a storm. Storms are interrupted. Storms can create problems. Storms are necessary evils. Necessary because of its content, evil because of its context. You see, when you think about it, we need wind and water. But when it's out of control, the context, then it becomes evil. And yet Jesus tells them, let's pass over to the other side, and they run into a storm. And instead of pushing the panic button, they should have pushed the praise button. Somebody here tonight, I don't know exactly what you're going through, but I do know you're going through, because my spiritual radar has picked you up. Especially in the backside over there, my spiritual radar has picked you up. You're in the midst of a storm, and it has not made it to the Weather Channel. You in a storm, you being tossed and turned, you being troubled on every side. And yet I want you to know that what you ought to do in the midst of your storm is not push the panic button, but push the praise button. Somebody say, I'm going to praise him anyhow. Let everything that hath breath praise you, Lord. In everything give thanks. For it is the will of God concerning you. I tell you, if you will just give him a praise in the midst of what you're going through, you'll begin to see your burdens will be lifted. I'm telling you right now, there's power. Oh God, Pastor, I didn't mean to go there, but I felt that. But not only that, they reached the other side. And what I found interesting, when they get to the other side, there's not the official church welcome committee. It's not the armor bearers. You know, I don't understand. We've gotten so deep that we got to have so many armor bearers. I know some churches where they got 10 members and 8 of them are armor bearers. Now who's after you? But anyway, Jesus and the disciples make it to the other side, and there's a man on the other side in the country of the Gadarenes who has some issues. The brother is out of control. He lives in the cemetery. He lives around dead folk. He's isolated, and he has great pain and torment. Oh my God. Let me tell you something. Fear has torment. In fact, we ought to break the yoke of fear on some of you right now. We come against that spirit of fear. My God, what's happened in the past does not have to dictate what's going to happen in your future. And so he's consumed. He's obsessed. In fact, he has so many demons. He's like a walking holiday. When Jesus asked him, what's your name? And discovered that he's called Legion, because there's so many demons in his life. I know there's some resistance in some circles to talk about demons and demonic power. But to believe the Bible does not talk about some of the problems that we exist having right now, that they're just psychological problems. There are agents of Satan. Do you not know when Satan got kicked out, he did not get kicked out by himself? That there was a host. In fact, a third of the host of the angels in heaven went with him. It's just like when you see one roach, trust me, it's some other roaches in the house. And those demons have come because Satan does not have the ability as God to be everywhere at the same time. But he does have his agents. They are demonic powers that try to influence the things that happen in your life. People are bound. What do you think that drug addiction is? Do you not know that drug addiction really comes from the witches' portion? That's what the drug addiction is, was the witches' portion. They were using drugs to alter the people's mind. Do you understand that when you're under drug addiction, you got some demons that you're dealing with? Not just drugs. Don't just talk about drugs. And let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of stuff. If you open the door, the enemy will come in and take control of your life. That's why some of you sitting in the service night and you can't get none, because you got a blockage, because the enemy has blinded you from the things of God. Can I preach in here tonight? And so this man is loaded with demons. He's packed up with demons. Demons, demons, demons have a control of his life. It's one thing to be oppressed by the devil. It's another thing to be possessed by the devil. And Jesus comes, and this man, according to the scriptures, in spite of his suicidal mentality, oh God, I felt that. Some of you been thinking about getting rid of it and giving up on it and letting go, and what's the use? Why should I try to make it when things are not getting better? The devil is a liar. You shall live and not die. Ah, tell me about how I'm going to live and not die. I ain't going to let what the devil is trying to tell me and trying to do to me to stop me from doing what God has called me to be. I'm going to live because God said I'm going to live. And lo and behold, this man, in spite of all his issues, the Bible says that when he sees Jesus afar off, he runs and falls down and worships. Ah, God. That's why I say you ought not count folk out, because they ain't got it all together. Yeah, I got church folk in my church that when certain folk get to praising God, say, won't they sit down, because they ain't living like nothing. Well, the reality is, for this man to worship, he had to have some experience. Yeah. Before you count folk out, you need to realize that everybody that started in Sunday school didn't stay in Sunday school. But they have not forgotten where they came from. Ah, some of y'all came to Lynchburg from the country. Oh, yeah, the bright lights and all that stuff, the clubs. You hit every club in town. Only reason you ain't going now, because you can't even move like you used to move. And yet Here is this man, and he comes and he falls before Jesus. He worships him. I see folk come to church Sunday after Sunday and don't worship. I see folk sing in the choir and don't worship. You know to worship, one of the things you got to do is take the spotlight off of you and put it on him. Touch somebody and say, you ain't all that anyhow. You might as well give God the glory. You might as well lift up your hands in the sanctuary. You might as well tell the Lord, thank you. I hope I ain't preaching too long, but y'all remind me of those folk in Africa. They expect me to preach at least two times, and y'all look like those folk in Africa. Well, Jesus comes, and he says, this is not your vision of Jesus. And he began to explain it to me. And if you just give me a few minutes, I'll share it with you. First of all, he says, if you look at this passage, you'll discover that Jesus came to the other shore. It was intentional. Yes, sir. If you read chapter 5, nobody else does Jesus deal with but this one man. The church has to be intentional. Yes, sir. Jesus came through the storm, the wind, the water, the waves, and he came through all of that just to deal with one person. Billy Graham was right, though millions may come, there's still room for one. I believe that God sent me to Lynchburg, to this wonderful church, Greater Brookville. I believe at least one person, you do know heaven rejoices over just one. Heaven throws a party on your behalf. And so Jesus was intentional. Said we got to be intentional. But I understand why we're not intentional, because being intentional means you got to be, it becomes labor intensive. See, so often we want to microwave folk into church. We want a little dab of do ya. But when you're trying to get somebody out, when you're trying to get somebody delivered, you got to be willing to break your schedule. You got to be willing to get your hands dirty. Some of y'all are too cute. You're too sophisticated and sadity and sophomoric. You think you all that. Touch them again. Say, you ain't all that. If it had not been for the grace of God, none of us could be in here tonight. But it's labor intensive. You got to stay with them. You got to pray with them. You got to fast with them. You got to say, I'm there through the thick and the thin. I'm going to hold on. I ain't giving up on you, because God has not given up on me. It's labor intensive. But then secondly, he says, you got to be inviting. Yeah, it's one thing to be intentional, but also you got to be inviting. Yes, sir. In this sense, I don't understand how we expect to attract folk and we ain't looking like nothing. I don't understand how we expect to grow the church and all we do is talk about the church in a negative way. I'm not talking. Yeah. Folk on our job, they ain't coming. When you spend half the time talking down the church. In fact, I hate folk to say we going down the church. Down the church. Listen, this is always an upward experience. When I come to church, I expect to go higher and higher and higher and higher. And so you got to be inviting. It's like sisters, can I talk to you for a moment? Listen, if you need paint on the bun, put some paint on the bun. Don't keep looking like plain Jane and ain't nobody interested. Oh, y'all done got quiet on me. You got to be inviting. That's why we got to understand that we do not change the message, but we ought to be able to alter the method. We got to be able to adjust. Have y'all noticed that there's hardly any boys singing in the choir now? Have y'all noticed that? Well, one reason none of our songs can relate for the most part to their culture, that hip hop culture. We still singing Jesus on the Main Line, and so many of our young people are not interested in our songs. Oh, help me somebody! Every now and then I say, from the window to the wall, till the Holy Ghost falls on us all. Oh, we, oh, he's in the house tonight. Y'all can't, I know y'all church folk can't get with it. But it's not the message that's changed. I don't care how you sing Amazing Grace, it's still Amazing Grace. It's the method. And so, in other words, to be inviting, you got to be interesting. Why would folk leave the club to come to a boring, dead, dry icicle? Well, our pastor is Dr. Fahrenheit. He has so many degrees. You need somebody that got power. That when you're sick, they can pray for you. Aye. Touch somebody and say, we got to be interesting. But not only do we have to be interesting, but lastly, we got to be impacting. When Jesus dealt with this man, check the record, it's in chapter 5. The Bible says when it was finished with, this man was found sitting and he got clothes on and he's in his right mind. There was visible evidence that there was a change in his life. But Pastor, the thing that I found was interesting, that here is a tremendous testimony, and yet when the man wants to go with Jesus, Jesus rejects him. Yes, sir. Here's a man that Jesus could be at his service and says, look here, this man was in the cemetery. He was crying out night and day. I've discovered even in church, everybody holler ain't happy. This man is hollering all night and all day, and he's thinking about killing himself. He's cutting himself. He's destructive. He's on the verge of not only hurting himself but hurting other folk. That's why they were chaining him up. And nobody could handle him unto Jesus. I wish I had some folk that would be honest tonight and said, nobody couldn't handle me unto Jesus. Oh, it was Jesus that turned my life around. Oh, it was Jesus that made me walk better and talk better and live better. Oh, it was Jesus. Jesus says, listen, the man said, I'm ready to go with you. Jesus says, no, you go home. You go home. Don't. Yeah, I want to go with you, Jesus. I feel more comfortable being with you, Jesus. I don't want to go back around those folk that talked about me and laughed at me and teased me and messed with me. I want to go and where I can be comfortable. Have you discovered that God did not call you to be comfortable? He called you to be committed. Pastor said, say it again. I'm going to say it again. God did not call you to be comfortable. He called you to be committed. And being committed is doing what he says, even if you don't like it. I said, being committed is doing what he says, even if you don't like it. Because you are committed to the Lord. Some of us so much want to do it our way when it's all about his way. And Jesus says, I don't need you to be on my praise team. I don't need you to be a part of the testimony ministry. I need you to go home. And I discovered one of the reasons why he wanted him to go home. Because listen, if you can't minister for God at home, you ain't got no business ministering nowhere else. I believe in the book of Acts, it tells us, when you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's home. Yes, sir. Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth. Yes, I can't stand to hear folk at church straightening other folk children at church. Yeah. And ain't saying nothing to their children at home. I should have saved this for tomorrow night while I got my ride. But I want you to understand that your ministry, oh, help me. I felt that some of y'all always at the church, sisters, and you're taking care of everything at the church, but you ought to take care of stuff at home. You ain't going to win that man when he always hungry. Oh, God, it got quiet. Home was where it began. Then it spreads abroad. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. And I want you to know that Jesus told him, said, you go back home. That's where your ministry ought to begin. And I want you to know, I want to close tonight. I want to close tonight because too many of you have been counted out, have been written off just like this man. Somebody said, but God. You know, I like that word, but. It's a coordinating conjunction that suggests contrast. But God. But God can turn your life around. I don't mean to bother nobody, but is there anybody here that know that God can do what no one else can do? I don't mean to bother nobody, but I've discovered that God is a good God. And when people count you out, he'll count you in. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody here that felt like you were counted out? But God touched you in the midst of your trial, and he turned your situation around. Can I testify just for a moment? That problem that I had, I could not seem to solve. I tried and I tried, and I kept getting deeper involved. But I turned it over to Jesus, and I stopped worrying about it. I turned it over to the Lord, and he worked it out. I'm not talking about just what I heard. I'm talking about what I know. You see, in 2007, I went to Africa, and I had a hard time breathing. My doctor had told me when I get back, they're going to check me out. And when I got back, I discovered that I had heart issues. You see, I had the saints praying that there would be no blockage, and God answered their prayer. But I had something worse than blockage. My heart was operating at 15%. I had heart failure. And the doctor told my wife and my son that he got to stop preaching, 'cause his heart ain't gonna hold up. And I heard my wife crying. I saw my son wiping tears from his eyes. And the doctor finally told me, said, now you gotta stop preaching. You got to give up the pulpit. I said, doctor, thank you for the diagnosis. Thank you for the recommendations. But a charge to keep I have, and a God to glorify. He said, well, you need to stop preaching. I said, well, I hear you, but I also hear my other doctor. He said, well, who is your other doctor? Well, that's the doctor that's never lost a patient. I got another doctor, and he told me everything is gonna be all right. And guess what? After several months going back to the doctor, he said, for some reason, your heart has gone up to 35%. He said, whatever you're doing, keep on doing. I didn't tell him I never stopped preaching. I kept proclaiming the good news of Christ, 'cause there's healing in his word. I know he's able. He told my wife and told my son he may not last 5 years. Well, that was 2007. I think this is 2016, and I'm still on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm here to tell you, last month I had a doctor's appointment, and he came in shaking his head. I said, what's wrong, doctor? He said, ain't was not what's wrong, it's what right. You're getting stronger and you're getting better. Said, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. And so here I am. I'm living evidence in the power of God. He's able. Yes, he's able to heal your body. He's able. Yes, he is, to save your soul. Touch your neighbor. I've been through something, but don't count me out. God is able. Is he able? I said, is he able? Come on and say yes. Come on and say yes. Hey!
Touch three people, said, don't count me out. I know what the doctor said. I know what the lawyer said. I know what the world is saying. But don't count me out. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation God gave me blessed consolation. Then my trials only come to make me strong. I've been a lot of places, and I've seen millions of faces, yet there are times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, oh, those precious lonely hours, Jesus always let me know I still was his own. That's the reason we can sing tonight through it. Come on, help me sing it, choir. Through it all. Oh, I've learned to trust in Jesus key to life is thank God for your mountains. Learn to thank Him for your valleys. You gotta thank Him for the storms He's brought you through. Cause if you never had a problem, you'll never know that my God could solve them. You'll never know what faith in His word could do. Can I get a witness out there to set through? Yeah, yes, through. Oh, I've learned to trust. Yes, I've learned. Oh, through. Yes, through. Oh, I've learned to depend. This that verse I just gotta say it one more time. Thank God for your mountains. Learn to thank Him for your valleys. You gotta thank Him for the storms He's brought you through. Cause if you never had a problem, you never know that my God could solve them. You never know what faith in His word could do. And that's the reason we ought to say tonight through. Yes, through. Oh, I've learned to trust. Yes, I've learned. Oh, through. Oh, through. I've learned to depend upon His word. Pastor, if I'm in order, I sense ministry in this house very quickly. As the musician just plays very softly. Touch the person next to you. Say, you're not here by accident. God knew you would be here. And He knows how much you can bear. I sense in this area, for some of you, it's a struggle to get your medicine. God said He's got healing in the hem of His garment. What you don't have, He's going to make a difference. My God. I sense a young person in your young adult on this side. Your job situation is in question. God said He's already worked it out. In fact, what you're going to get is going to be better than what you got. Ah, Lord. And then, Pastor, you know what is so difficult to convince church people? And that is to forgive themselves. Do you not know when you don't forgive yourself because of your past mistakes and even present problems? You're saying to God, you're not able to keep your word. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Touch yourself and say, I'm going to forgive myself. I ain't going to let this stuff keep knocking me down. Do you know that God does not want us to live in guilt? It is godly sorrow that worketh repentance. When you see it like God sees it,
That's what God wants you to do. And so get over it. Stop beating yourself over it. Do you not know that God knew you were going to be like that? That was going to happen. My son was talking to me about a young man this morning. I was talking to my son, who's my assistant pastor. And he was saying that, he said, a lot of young people don't feel like they can accept the call in their life because of the past or because of what they've been involved in. And I said to my son, I said, well, when you run into somebody like that, you tell them, ask them, did they call God and ask God to be a preacher? Or did God call them? If God called them, God ought to know who he's dealing with. Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me. Y'all ain't gonna help me. And so tonight, Pastor, I like to make the appeal. This is revival. This is renewal. Some of you need to rededicate, to recommit yourself. You stop singing in the choir because you didn't like so-and-so. Listen, that ain't gonna hold water in heaven. Listen, you ain't singing for folk. You singing for the Lord. You ain't serving because somebody didn't speak to you. You serving for the Lord. And this tonight, I just sense, Pastor, there are people who wanna rededicate and recommit themselves. It's not that they ain't doing nothing, but they know they can do more. I want you to come to the altar. I want you to come. Somebody to my right, you've been experiencing headaches all day long. Come on to this altar. You ought to come right now. Just wherever your, whatever your need is, come to the altar and let God turn it around for you. Through it all, I've learned trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend. There's a young man, you need to come to this altar. God been dealing with you for some time. Come on to this altar. Yeah, come on to this altar. Yes, I've learned to depend upon his word. Yeah. I've learned depend upon his word. Musicians, see, can you pick me up? There's a song I just came out with, Pastor, that with my choir, and it says something like this. It won't always be like this. The trouble you're going through won't always exist. Don't let the trouble get you down. It won't always be like this. It won't always be like this. The heartache you have won't always exist. Don't let the heartbreak break your heart. It won't always be like this. Touch somebody and say, it won't always be like this. As you join hands with someone nearby, others may stand. Pastor, we're going to end here, or all right? We're going to end tonight right here. Some of you at the back, you ought to work your way up to the altar. Why go back the same way you came? I don't know about you. I came for a breakthrough. I came for whatever God has for me. As you join hands, the touching of the hands is a sign of agreement. If we touch and agree here on earth, it shall be granted in heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we can come to you without fanfare, without trying to impress anybody. But we can come as an empty pitcher before a full fountain. I come against that headache which is stress related. I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. God, we're turning it over to you. Every bill, every burden, God, every prior diagnosis, we know you got the final say in our situation. I thank you right now for that job promotion, that change of job. I thank you that I won't have to work under the stress of that present situation. Thank you, God, for covering my household. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you for the blood that's been applied even right now. And I pray right now, Lord, that you will help me to forgive myself. I've been carrying this too long. I've been holding this against myself too long. I believe that if you say I'm forgiven, then I'm forgiven. And God, I thank you right now for the calling that's on my life. I thank you right now that I've run, but I can't run no more. I thank you for giving me a new lease on life. I thank you for not counting me out, God. I thank you, God, for St. Paul, for ministering tonight. I thank you for this wonderful branch of Zion. I thank you for favor that's resting on your people. And we count it done tonight. Healing, deliverance, breakthroughs, blessings. Hey, God, we thank you. Hey, God, we thank you. Hey, God, we thank you for the open door. Thank you for the new opportunity. Thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. And we count it done in Jesus' name. And all the people of God shouted amen. 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 And amen. Do me a favor. Hug three people and tell them I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Do me a favor.